reap sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor, their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for this indescribable gift. This is God's word.
Well, church, why don't you open your Bibles there to 2 Corinthians chapter 9 in the New Testament. That's where we are today. 2 Corinthians, and we're looking at chapters 8 and 9, but chapter 9 is where our reading is from. Now, today we'll be looking at the first of two messages, this week and next, on an important aspect of our Christian discipleship, of our worship, and that is money and generosity. Now, we don't talk about money at Living Water very often, and one of the reasons for that is because we are a church that regularly has visitors, and if you are visiting us today, you are very welcome. And we never want to create the impression to people who may not yet know God that either you have to somehow pay God to come to church or that the church is after your money. This is not true. The Bible is quite clear that God actually doesn't need our money. Everything already belongs to him. He is the creator. Psalm 50, every animal of the forest is mine and the cattle on a thousand hills. So if that is the case, if everything already belongs to him, then why are there laws in the Old Testament for Israel, say, to give a tithe or 10% of their income to the temple priests every year? Why are the laws to be generous to the stranger and to the poor and to the alien in the Old Testament? Why does God say to wayward Israel who weren't tithing in Malachi chapter 3, verse 9, he says, you are under a curse, your whole nation, because you are robbing me. Bring your whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. Why does God say these things? God was commanding Israel to share that which he had given them with those in need and for the work of God. Why? Well, he was commanding them to be like him, to be a giver. It's a very important spiritual principle. You see, the law of God was revealing the heart of God to Israel, calling on them to trust him, to put their faith in him, to love him, to obey him. And with the coming of Jesus, who is the fulfillment of the law, it's true that Christians are not commanded to give a tithe as the Israelites were. Rather, the command that Jesus gives us is much greater. To love others as he has loved us. He loved us by giving his very life. He died for us, for our reconciliation with God. Jesus summarized all the law with this: love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus is a giver. He is generous. And Jesus is commanding us to be like him, to be a giver. And it's this principle that the Apostle Paul is referring to in our passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Is this working okay? Am I all right? All right. And the context is important as we move there. Have a look at it there with me, if you don't mind. Open up and have a look. Why is Paul talking about giving here in this letter? Well, the section we read here in chapter 9 comes at the end of a longer section, which begins in chapter 8, where Paul is encouraging the Christians in Corinth to give generously to meet the needs of the Christians in Jerusalem who were in a famine. This, he says, is an expression of communion, of shared koinonia, of fellowship, right? The fruit of the Spirit in the lives of believers. And at the very heart of his encouragement to them to be generous is in chapter 8, verse 9, where he says this, and we'll come back to this verse later. He says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich." See, Jesus himself is the model. As I said, we'll come back to this verse in a moment. He then goes on to say in verse 10, "And here's my judgment about what's best for you in this matter. Last year, you were the first not only to give, but also to have the desire to do so. Now finish the work so that your eager willingness to do it may be matched by your completion of it according to your means." You see, the church had already indicated to Paul a year before, yeah, we really want to give to help our brothers and sisters in Jerusalem. But as time has gone on, as matters have arisen, it seems like the church in Corinth has kind of waned in their desire. And so he's calling on them to fulfill their promises. Verse 12, "For if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. Our desire is not that others might be relieved while you are hard-pressed, but that there might be an equality. At the present time, your plenty will supply what they need, so that in turn their plenty will supply what you need." The goal is equality. Verse 15, "As it's written, the one who gathered much didn't have too much, and the one who gathered little did not have too little." Paul is encouraging the church to be like Jesus, to be a giver, to be generous, to share in the meeting of others' needs and in the work of the gospel. Let me ask you, how are you when it comes to giving? When it comes to being generous? Are you a giver like Jesus? It's a truism, isn't it, when people say, "You should put your money where your mouth is," right? Why? Well, because in one sense, talk is cheap and money is not. And if you mean something, if something's important to you, you'll often see it in your decisions about your money. What does your bank statement reveal about your life priorities? What does it reveal about your trust in God? Are you a giver? Are you generous? Let's now come to our passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 to 15. It's gone very quiet in here, folks. I'm not, I ask myself those questions too, don't you worry. And I want us to see 3 points, right? Firstly, how should I give? What happens when I give? And thirdly, why should I give? All right, so follow with me. How should I give? Well, look there, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. I want you to notice we are to be giving freely, joyfully, and generously. Look at verse 7. "Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver." Notice, we are to give freely, not because of a rule or a law. We are to give what we've decided in our heart to give according to our conscience before God. Not begrudgingly or under coercion. We're not to be giving out of feelings of guilt or through manipulation. And notice that God loves a cheerful giver. Cheerful in the Greek is the word hilaros, the root word, which in English was hilarious. Okay? The picture we're to get here is that in our giving, what the culture or the attitude of heart that we ought to be experiencing in that is not reluctance, but filled with joy. Hilarious giving. I should also give generously. Verse 11, you'll be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. How should I give? Freely, joyfully, and generously. We hear those words, but first, can I say, we can be really good at finding ways to limit our generosity, can't we? I once knew a man who claimed to be Christian, and I at that time was a brand new convert. I was a brand new Christian at the time. I remember we were talking at one occasion about money and about tithing and about giving to the church and things like that. And he had quite a rigid view about it. He said to me, no, Christians must tithe. They must give 10% of their income to the church. And so I didn't know much at that time. And so I asked him, well, how do you find that? Like, how does that work out in your life? And he very quickly said to me, oh, no, he doesn't tithe. Because the Bible also says that God loves a cheerful giver, and he wasn't cheerful about tithing, so he wasn't doing it. The logic didn't quite add up to me, add up at that time, but I think money had become too important to him. Christians can do this in other ways as well. Frugality, we call it. Now, frugality is not wrong, but let's not pretend it's a spiritual gift. The trouble with frugality is that it can very easily tip into miserliness and self-righteousness. It can reinforce trust in self rather than trust in God's provision. And if anything, what we find in the New Testament is not exhortations to frugality, but rather to generosity. You see, what we can lose sight of is not only how we should give freely, joyfully, generously, but also, secondly, what happens when we give, and then thirdly, why. So let's look, secondly, then, what happens when we give. Well, first, our faith is being proved true. Look at verse 13. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. You see, when we give as disciples of Jesus, it becomes a witness to our belief, to our faith, to our confession of the gospel of Christ. Our giving demonstrates our faith. Our faith is proved to be true. Now, giving doesn't make you a Christian. Believing in Jesus makes you a Christian. But the evidence that shows this to be true is a generous heart. It's a heart that's been changed. Now, we've seen this already in previous weeks. We've seen that faith that merely assents to the truths about God but doesn't actually trust God, well, that's no real faith at all, right? Faith that doesn't actually practice it. It's not real. But when we give, when we actually practice, when we actually trust, our faith is being proved true. So that's the first thing to note. So what happens when we give? Our faith is being proved true. Second, the Lord blesses us abundantly in it. Look at verse 8. God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will be abounding in every good work. Paul is saying you can trust God to provide for you. In fact, he will provide all that you need so that you can abound in every good work. You'll be able to continue and to grow in your giving. God is going to provide for you. Paul reminds us that God is built into the moral fabric of his universe, the principle of sowing and reaping. Look at verse 6. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. There is a profound spiritual principle here. It's not that we give in order to get, which has been a misunderstanding of this text. No, rather, by giving generously in faith and in trust, what we will find is a generous harvest of righteousness resulting in our lives. A harvest of righteousness. Look at verse 10. Now, he who supplies the seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. He will provide for you to be able to give and increase your harvest of righteousness. God's generosity is so great that he not only supplies us with what we need and with what we can give to others. But when we do so by faith, he multiplies it back to us, including the blessings of righteousness in our lives. Well, what is the blessing of righteousness? It's what flows out of a life filled with God. You could call it the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Harvest of righteousness is multiplied to you and to me when our hearts are being shaped and aligned with God's in being a generous giver. What happens when we give? Our faith is being proved true. The Lord is blessing us abundantly. And thirdly, generosity actually enables God to be glorified. It's interesting, isn't it? Look at verse 11. Your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Verse 12. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but it's also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Verse 13. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God. Generosity in giving gives glory to God. Do you want to glorify God in your life? Right? Do you want to help people see God's beauty, God's faithfulness, God's love, his glory, his provision in your life? Do you want people to see that? Well, become a generous person and give freely, joyfully, and generously. Become the reason for others to thank and praise God. Our giving enables God to be glorified. And as you do, your faith will be proved true. The Lord's blessing will be on your life. As you give, you will receive. And not only that, but your harvest of righteousness will increase. And people will thank and glorify God because of it. Now, you might say, Shane, that sounds good. But I just don't know if I can trust God like that. How can I be sure that he will provide for me? That I'll have enough? I'm worried about my life. I'm worried about the future. And this is answered by our third and final point. Why should we give? And the answer is because Jesus gave himself for you. Paul says in chapter, as I mentioned, chapter 8, verse 9, we come back to that verse. He says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. In the short and yet powerful sentence, Paul masterfully lays out the amazing grace of Jesus Christ towards us. First, he says, though he was rich. This is reference to the fact that Jesus is the Son of God, who from all eternity is the second person of the Trinity, was in heavenly glory at the right hand of the Father. Everything was at his disposal. The King of glory, though he was rich, second, yet for your sake, he became poor. This is reference to Jesus, the Son of God, in his incarnation, taking on humanity to himself, and being born as a baby to Mary and Joseph. In his humanity, he became small and vulnerable and weak. He became poor. He became so poor that he even went to the cross in our place and there paid the penalty that our sin deserved. His humanity was impoverished. He died so that we could live. And that's the third point. So that we, through his poverty, might become rich. The poverty of Jesus makes us rich. How? The forgiveness of our sins, reconciliation with God, becoming a child of God, inheritors of the new heavens and the new earth. God is going to give us literally the universe in Christ. Why should we give? Because Jesus has given you everything. Not only eternal life in the world to come, but his very life he gave for you, and he has now given to you through the ministry of the Holy Spirit in your heart. You see, any act of generosity we could ever do, like him, would only ever be the most pale of shadows compared to the generosity of Jesus Christ, giving his very self for us and to us. Jesus is a giver. Jesus is generous. Jesus summarized all the law with this: love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus is commanding us to be like him, to be a giver. And that's why Paul can finish his encouragement to give with these words: thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Our Lord Jesus, I wonder, do you know, have you received this indescribable gift? The riches of Jesus Christ himself. If you don't, if you haven't, then you will find yourself very, very reluctant to give. That's the truth. Or you'll give with ulterior motives. You'll give to get something in return. Maybe it's loyalty. Someone then owes you something. Or you'll give for the approval of others. Or they'll be in your debt. You see, giving doesn't make sense unless you know the riches of Jesus Christ and his gospel. Unless you have received God's indescribable gift. So let me close and let me ask you, how are you when it comes to being a generous person, when it comes to giving? Are you a giver like Jesus, your Lord and Savior? What does your bank statement reveal about the grace of Jesus Christ in your life? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we come before you, Lord, and we thank you for your incredible generosity and grace to us. You gave yourself to us and for us. Lord Jesus, we ask that your Spirit, that you would come into our hearts and change them from hard hearts that are constantly looking for ways to live apart from you, to find, to be its own savior, to be strong, but rather to become soft and to live in trust and in faith. Thank you, Lord, that we prove that faith to be true by being those who give freely, joyfully, and generously. And when we do this, Lord, when we do it in faith as disciples, when we do it as worship, Lord, we know your blessing. We see your abundant provision and the increase of your presence in our lives, the harvest of righteousness. And Lord, we know that in generosity, us and others, Lord, we give you thanks and praise. We bring glory to you. And so, Lord Jesus, we ask that you would help us today to look at our bank balances, look at our bank statements, and ask the hard question: what does it reveal about your grace in my life? Lord Jesus, would you help us to be generous? Help us to be givers, because you gave yourself for us. Amen.